what she had lined out for you. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Oh, y'all got practice for me. Y'all sure y'all doing all right? You got to be doing good in the house of the Lord this morning, amen? Is that right? Come on with me. We had a good turnout last night at the Fish Fry Club, and I appreciate those of y'all that come and supported us. Can you hear me? Turn me up, bro. Test 1, 2. Can you hear me now? There you go. All right. Anyway, we had a good turnout last night, and I appreciate the ones that got to come and support us. And it was great. Had fun. And that's just like last Sunday. You know, we had the auction for the kids. And now we've got kids that get to go camp, you know, because of the donations you made of buying their desserts. And we may need to have one more fundraiser just because. Just to make sure they got enough to cover that. And that camp is for kids that are in the sixth grade right now through what? Twelfth grade? And so the kids that are under that, Kenny and I are going to, we'll take them somewhere this summer. I think we'll probably go to Chuck E. Cheese and maybe Celebration Station and stuff like that. So any of you parents, when we plan those trips, if y'all want to go, please go. Please. It'll be fine. If y'all want to come on, y'all more welcome to come, and we'll go and we'll have a good time. So I didn't want the little kids to think that they were going to be left out. I know a lot of them made desserts and stuff, and they raise money just like everybody else. So we'll make sure that they get to go somewhere this summer and as a group, and we'll have a good time with them. Amen? All right. Everybody have a good week so far. The love week. We had Valentine's Day last Sunday, right? How was everybody's Valentine's after they got home? Good? How about Valentine's the rest of the week? You know, I know some people, when they have a birthday, they decide that the week of the birthday is birthday week. And I know some women like Valentine's a week. They get the whole week from Sunday, you know, from Sunday to Sunday, maybe. Is that right? So did you go above and beyond? You know, I challenged everybody last week to go above and beyond of what they normally do for the significant other. How many of you went above and beyond what you normally do at least one time this week? Huh? Y'all did? Amen. Good deal. Good. Good. And, of course, we need to do it every day, but I understand if we can do it just one time a week, I promise you, it will make a difference in your life at home. It will make a difference. You can have the best marriage in the world, but I promise you, if you go above and beyond at least once a week, it'll get better. And it will stay better. It will stay good. Amen? I enjoy doing that. I like doing that. And sometimes I miss a week, you know, but that's okay. But we need to go above and beyond to do that. That one special thing for that love. You know, God did one special thing for us out of love, wasn't it? And that was He gave His Son. That was the ultimate sacrifice. And the great beauty with that is once He does that and we accept that, we acknowledge that He gave His Son to forgive our sins, and we accept that, and we are cleansed, washed in the blood, and that we are forgiven, He doesn't have to do it every week. He can't do it every week. Because once you're forgiven, amen? Isn't that great? I mean, that's amazing. It is amazing. And through His Son, we can what? We can do all things, right? That's the first scripture up there this morning. How many of you knew that without even looking? The first scripture we want to read this morning is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Y'all get that? I can do all things through Christ, not with Christ, through Christ, who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
Pam kind of touched on it this morning, and he was your what, Pam? What did you say he was to you this morning? Your friend, your confidant, somebody you can talk to. You know, he's your, maybe your counselor. Is that right? It's kind of fitting that she talked about that this morning because, you know, He's not only our friend, he's not only our Savior, he's not only who we go to when we're down and out, he's not only who we go to when we need help, he's not only who we go to when we want to praise him, but he's also my mechanic. He's also my sous chef, right? Y'all know what that is? I didn't know what that was until I seen it on TV the other day. Sous chef is the guy that helps the main chef. I didn't know that. I just thought it was a helper, what they called it. Anyway, but he can be your mechanic, he can be your sous chef, he can be your shopping buddy, so he's going to tell you whether that's a good deal or not, amen? But through Christ, we can do all things. Another way to look at it. Through Christ, you can do anything. How many of you believe that here today? Through Christ, you can do anything. But what does it take to go along with that? Huh? Faith and trust. Had a discussion last night with a couple of guys. One of them is an elder at one church, and another guy has stepped up and started filling in preaching at another church. Both these churches I attended in the previous years, I helped build a couple of them, or helped start a couple of them, but both of them. But they got on faith, that faith was the most important thing. Without faith, it was nothing. Without faith, your works is dead. Amen, I believe that. I do believe that, beyond the shadow of a doubt. But what did we talk about last Sunday? Love, right? I read out 1 Corinthians, and what did it say? You can have all the faith in the world, but without love, what? It doesn't mean nothing. You can give up everything you've got and be a martyr. Give up everything, but without love, what? It doesn't matter, does it? So it's fitting that we understand that through the love of our God, our Father, that he give his Son. Amen? Because without that love, we are nothing. Without the love that he has for us, we don't amount to much. We can't do much. Right? He loves us that much that he give his Son, that through him we can do anything. Where is Jesus Christ sitting right now? At the right hand of God on the throne, right? Let's go to Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. 28:18. Boy, that wasn't even the introduction that the good Lord laid on me to give y'all this morning, but that's just kind of where it went. Amen. 28:18 says what? Matthew 28. Is everybody there? Hold on. Just give me a hold on if you ain't there. 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying what? All authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and where? On earth. God has given his Son all authority, all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen? Right? Okay. I'm going to go over and read the next verse to you. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you and do, or commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of age. Amen. What does that mean to you? He has given Jesus all the power and authority in heaven and on earth, and he's going to go with us always. So what is that telling you? If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where is he? Not only at the right hand of God, but where? He's right here. He's with you. What does that mean to you? What is the great thing about that? He is always with you. You never have to go find him to talk to him. You never have to fight the multitudes to talk to him. Amen? Could y'all imagine living back then trying to fight the multitudes of people just to get to him, to talk to him, just to see him, just to hear him? We don't have to do that. He's right here with us. Amen. But the great thing about that is if he has all the power and authority and he's living inside of us, we have power and authority as well. Do we not? Huh? What does he tell us to do? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go out and teach. Go out and preach. Amen. What did he call his 12 to do? Let's go to Luke. Luke 9. Luke 9. 1 and 2. What's Luke talking about right here? It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Amen? So through Christ, we can do all things, right? Are we disciples? Or are we just a congregation? Are we disciples? Or are we just somebody that comes and sits in the building and listens to the preacher? Huh? Are we disciples? Or are we just sitting here like a hunk? We are disciples, right? He sent his 12 disciples out to preach the word, to heal the sick, to preach the word to all creatures. Amen? He gave them the power and authority. See, Jesus is no longer on this earth with us. He's in our heart. We have that power and authority, and as a disciple, it is your job, it is my job, to go out and to preach the word to all creatures and to heal the sick. Amen? Not only can we do that, if we have the power and authority to do that, do you not have the power and authority to speak them addictions out of your life? Do you not have the power and the authority to speak depression out of your life? Do you have the power and the authority to speak poverty out of your life?
Amen.
Huh? We talked Wednesday night about the words that we speak. How many of you were here for that sermon series? The words that we speak. Words are powerful, aren't they not? Huh? If somebody tells you long enough that you're no good, you're useless, you can't do this, you can't do that, what eventually happens? You're worthless, you're useless, and you can't do it. And you start telling yourself what? I'm worthless, I'm useless, and I can't do it. But you can. You can do it. You're not worthless. Amen. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the devil tells you. You can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because he is on the inside and he has the power and authority, and that power and authority we have. It's great. It's awesome. My life may not be perfect. I may have hardships in my life, but that's just going to be. He tells us in the Bible, we're going to have that. We're going to have that. And through overcoming that, it just makes us stronger, and he can give us something a little more and make us a little bigger and a little greater to move us on. Amen? Because if you can't preach to 2, you can't preach to 20. And if you can't preach to 20, you can't preach to 200, right? Amen? If you can't overcome a headache, you can't overcome a virus. Amen? If you can't overcome a $20 bill, you can't overcome a $200 bill, can you? You've got that power and authority. It's time that we stand up and we believe what we're reading in this book, because it is the truth. Amen? Do you believe that?
Amen.
We don't take pieces and we don't take parts and we don't make it say what we want it to say. We take what the scripture says and we live by it. Come on. Amen. Amen? I love it. You have that power and you have that authority. Amen? And I know that I've had people say, well, that's his 12. They're right there with him. He actually gave that to them. He said he'd give that to them. Right? How many of you know that those 12 had a little disbelief every now and then? Did they not try to cast a demon out of a little boy and they couldn't do it? What did he tell them? Oh, you have no faith. What are you going to learn? How long do I have to be here? How many times do you have to see me do this? And they still didn't believe. But you are greater than that because you haven't seen and you do believe. You are greater than that because you haven't seen and you do believe. Amen. But I want you to understand, it's not just the disciples in the book. I'm talking about me and I'm talking about you here today, that you have that power and authority. But there was even a time in the Bible, it shows that it was somebody not in the 12 that he sent out that had a little bit of power and authority to do what he was sending his 12 out to do. Y'all know where that's at? Let's go to 9:49. Luke 9:49 is just a little ways over. Jesus is talking to the 12, and they're talking about little kids and all that. And John pipes up and said, Master, are y'all there? I'm sorry. Everybody there? John pipes up and says, Master, We saw someone what?
Casting out.
Casting out demons. In your name. Now, did he say who it was? Did he know it? No, he didn't, did he? Was it one of the 12?
No.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't one of the 12 that he gave his power and authority to, was it? Because why? Let me finish reading. I'm getting ahead of myself. Since John Andrew said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. It's a proven fact right here that this man that was casting out demons did not follow them. But how did he know to do that? How did he receive that power and authority? How did he know that he could do that? Huh? I'm sure it doesn't say it in here, and this is Donnie Tyler speaking, but I can just almost bet he heard a sermon that Jesus spoke. Do you reckon? Being on the way to hear it. And whether it was a sermon that he spoke or a sermon that maybe one of the disciples learned, or maybe it was somebody else repeating what they heard Jesus say, it doesn't matter. He heard it, he believed it, and he was doing it. I'm sure he was preaching as he was going, and I'm sure he was casting out demons as he went, and I'm sure he was healing the sick as he went. But what did Jesus tell him? See, these guys were forbidding him to do that because he wasn't with them. What they didn't understand is you didn't have to be with them to receive the gift, to receive discipleship, to be able to do what Jesus wanted you to do, and therefore go and preach and spread the word to every creature. You can do that. We're supposed to do that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Paul says in Corinthians, he says about three times in there, imitate me. Hey, look at me and see what I do, and you do what I do because I'm doing what Christ does. Well, do what I'm doing. He's not saying for the people to bow down and to worship him and to praise him. He is saying, I am an example. This is the example that you should follow. If you can't follow Christ, like if you don't understand it, if you will watch me and what I'm doing, follow me. Do what I do. I want to know how many of us here today has the faith to do what Paul was asking him to do in Corinthians. Could you tell your best friend to act just like me? If you want to spread the word, act just like me. How many of us here today can do that? Wasn't too many years ago I couldn't do that. I believed in God and I believed in Jesus. And I knew I was supposed to be on church on Sundays, but I could not tell my friends to act like me if they wanted to receive salvation. I couldn't do it. But I'm proud today that I can. I am thankful today that I can. I can tell anybody to follow me. Because I have that power and authority. I have that. I have that ability to live that way. I'm not perfect by no means. Nobody is. But if we can take what Jesus gives us in this book and apply it to our life every day to go above and beyond, to follow Him, to put ourselves aside, you should be able to do that. We should be able to do that. Anybody ought to be able to do that. To follow me. You want to know what it's like to follow Christ, to live for Him? Follow my lead. Follow my example. Amen. See, that's what discipleship's all about, is being able to preach the word, to be able to live the way that God wants us to live. Amen. Now, let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 1. See, here's another prime example that it's not just the 12 that he sends out. We established earlier that we're all disciples, right? Are we disciples? It's my job to equip the saints to go out and preach the word, right? Who are the saints? You are disciples. We should all be disciples of Christ. We should imitate Paul, follow Paul, do like Paul did. Paul set a great example, did he not? Verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He sent them out to do his work. What did they do when they got back? You can skip over to 17. Did we put that up there? You know, there's too many times that things in this world shut us down. Too many times. And it's not so much the devil whispering in our ear, but as we've come accustomed to doing what we want to do, and we've come accustomed to living a certain way daily, day by day, doing the same thing, in and out, in and out. That's why I challenged you the other day, at least once this week, go above and beyond and do something for the significant other. At least once this week, to go above and beyond and do something for God. And after a while, you're going to find the more that you do for God, the more that He's going to lead you to do other things. When you start leading you to do other things, you're going to be doing mighty things, great things for God. And it's going to be easy. You're not even going to be realizing you're doing it. So many times, we want to let our job interfere. We want to let our personal life interfere. We want to let our kids' lives interfere, sports, school, whatever it may be. And I'm subject to that. Sometimes I let my job interfere. I let it. And where it should. Amen? There's too many times that I got to get this done, I got to get this done, and I'll read later. And when later gets here, I sit down in my chair to read, and I'm too tired to do it. That's my fault. That's not the devil. That's not God's fault. That's my fault. I chose to do that. Amen? I'm not saying we have to stop right then when God leads us right then to read the Bible, stop right then and read it. But if He's leading you to do it, I suggest you get it in. Amen? If He leads you to do something, get it in. Do it. But there's too many times that this world that we're conformed to interferes with the work that God has for us. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Right? Not with man, but with God, all things are possible. So when you're facing adversity and you don't understand, go to God. Go to your Savior. He's not going to allow us to be tempted more than we can handle, and in the end, He's going to give us a way out. Right? The Bible says that, doesn't it? It says that. He's not going to tempt us more than what we can handle, but through each temptation and His greatness, He will give us a way out for overcoming that. Amen? So He told the 70 to go out and do what? Go out and preach the word. He's talking about the harvest, getting everybody ready for the harvest. And you know, Pam, we was talking about, you was talking about wanting to go to that heaven, and then before you sang a while ago. How many of you are ready to go to heaven? I'm ready to go. There's about 8 billion people on this earth, roughly. 7.9 billion, right? 8 billion people on this earth. And I've said too many times that don't cry for me when I die, because I'm going to heaven. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And sometimes I'm a little selfish. And when I'm praying, I'm like, Lord, just why are we taking so long? Let's just go. Come on. I'm ready. Not that I want to die or nothing, but I want to get out of this old world, because I know how great heaven is, and I know how bad hell is going to be for people. I understand. I know how bad it's going to be, and I don't want to go there. I'm not going there, and I feel sorry for those that don't believe in God. We're trying our best. But I know what He has in store for me in heaven, and I'm ready to go. But do you know, that's been a little bit selfish, because we got how many people that's not ready to go? How many people have not heard the word? How many people have not lived the Christian life? How many people have not understood how great living for God can be? There's 8 billion people in here, and we've got about 50 in here this morning. Amen? We can't take 8 all of in here. We'll try it. We'd have to have service outside, wouldn't we? But I'm telling you right now, God is waiting for the harvest to be ripe. He is waiting for the harvest to be right. We've got to change as many people, as many hearts as we can. Not that they're wrong, but they just don't know. They just don't understand. There's people that's heard and will deny it for the rest of their life. But there's some poor soul that has never heard the word, never heard the word God, doesn't know who Jesus is, doesn't know that he died on the cross. He lived and he died. And he rose again for me and for you. Amen? That's our job. That's what Jesus is trying to do. He gave them the power and authority. He gave us the power and authority to go out and to preach the word and to testify and to show people. Amen? Y'all ready to do that? Huh? 10:1-7, we go out. And then when they come back, what do they tell us? If you look at verse 17, it says, the 70 returned with what? Joy. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us, what? In your name. In your name. Jesus wasn't there. They went out two by two. And what does he tell us? You claim it in my name. You profess it in my name. You demand it in my name, and it will be. There's your proof right there. The 70 come back and said, the demons even know in your name. Amen? That's the power and authority in his name through Christ. That's where Philippians, that's the foundation for it right there. In your name. Amen? What does John 14 say? Y'all want to flip over there? John 14. How many works did Jesus do in the 3 years he was here? Huh? He did a lot, didn't he? Just a few we read about in the Bible. He spat on this guy's eyes and this side came back. He spoke these words and this little girl got up. One guy, his kid was sick and he never even had to go there. He said, when you get home, the child will be healed. He was there. Went home, his child was okay. Now, what's this verse right here tell us? John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, that's me and you, he who believes in me. How many of you believe in Jesus today?
Amen.
We all do. We're all here. We all believe. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, because I go to my Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do, because I go to my Father. Could you imagine doing greater works than Jesus? One man done so many works, they can't record it in the Bible, in the book. They didn't have books around. One man. Greater works. But it filtered off of him to the 12 and to that one guy that cast out the demons and then to the 70. And it just kept going and going and going, and somewhere along the line, it just stopped. There's not that many people out there doing that these days. A few preachers in a church. Amen? Can you imagine doing greater works than Jesus? What would happen to this world? Huh? There wouldn't be enough churches. Wouldn't be enough places to put people. Wouldn't be enough places. Then we would have, they'd be, there wouldn't be no Baptist, there wouldn't be no Methodist, there wouldn't be no Catholics, there wouldn't be nothing. It would all be one great big church. If we all follow what it says right here. I'm not knocking them other denominations. That's great. As long as they all believe that Jesus is the Son and they were saved by him, that's fine. That's great. You accept that. Because if you take that, you're going to heaven. Amen. We don't care where you're going around here as long as you go. But I'm telling you, could you imagine what kind of world it would be if we can all do works greater than he, because he went through his Father, the power and authority is through us, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Glory to God. John 12:25. Now, let's see, what is that? Let me look. 21:25, I'm going to read that to you. It says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's a lot in 3 years. And I've lived on this earth for 44, and I hadn't done not much of what anyhow. You've got that power and authority to speak good things into your life, or you can keep speaking the negative things and have negative things in your life. Amen? You can overcome the negative things with, and I'm not trying to be a feel-good, positive preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. God tells us the words that we speak, our life, to our bodies and health to our bones, right? The words. We talked about our tongues last week. The tongues can guide us. It's a little bitty thing. He can burn it down or he can build it up. Amen. The words you speak. Life and health to our bones. Use your words. When you get up in the morning, oh, my old back. Oh, Lord, my old back hurt today. Yep. Your back won't hurt today. Gonna hurt all day. You keep telling it to. Amen. Yep. Oh, I'm gonna go to work. It's gonna be a horrible day. Oh, it's gonna be rough. I'm gonna go. Hey, don't say that. Get up. Thank God I got a job. It's gonna make a difference today. Amen. Yeah. Positive. Speak the truth. What you speak into your life, you're gonna have in your life. Amen. The words we speak. Mark 16. Band, if y'all want to come on up, I'm going to read this and we may get out of here. Mark 16. Verse 15. I may back up and read a little bit more. Verse 12 says, and after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now this is, Jesus has not been resurrected here. He's done come back. He told them he would come back to them. It says, and they went and told it to the rest that they did not believe him either. See, all this time he's been walking earth and he was telling them right before he got crucified, he says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And they still didn't believe him. Here he is, he's done been hung on the cross, he's done died, he's done been put in the tomb, he has done risen, and they've seen it with their own eyes, and they still didn't believe it. It says, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe him either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief, still not believing, he's sitting out there with them. Said he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15, and he said to them, what? Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. What does that go back to? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my name. Huh? Y'all want to read it? In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen? Go preach the word. All things through, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In his name, I command you to whatever, in Jesus' name. I command you, bills, to be paid in Jesus' name. The money's not going to pop right there on the table, but I promise you, something's going to unfold and your bill's going to get paid if you believe it. Trust me. I'm there. I do that. Y'all may think it's funny, may not believe it. If you got any unbelief on that, you need to go on and read this some more. Go read Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Say, speak to your mouth. Amen. I have to go out sometimes and lay hands on my truck. Truck, crank, run good today in the name of Jesus. I've done it too many times. Have a leak in the radiator. Go in there and get the black pepper out. I can't fix the leak. Didn't have the money to fix the leak. Go in there and get the black pepper in there. Black pepper, I command you to stop this hole up in the name of Jesus. Pour it in that radiator, put your cap on, drive down the road, and here we go. Amen. But I believe that. I believe that word. And it worked. Because I spoke it through Jesus' name. I commanded that. I don't get sick anymore. I used to have allergies. I used to have back trouble. I used to have a bad knee. I don't anymore. Because I believe that I was healed the moment Jesus died on that cross. By his stripes, we are healed. I hadn't taken medicine in 4 years. Now, if I go out here and get smacked by a truck, then yeah, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. You know? I don't give it. Doesn't happen to me. I hadn't had allergies in 3 or 4 years. I hadn't had heartburn. I tell you what, I asked my kids, I asked Karen, them big bottles of Rolaids? Shoot, son. I'm surprised Rolaids business didn't shut down when I quit eating them things. I ate lots of them. Amen. Everybody stand up. If y'all need prayer, come down and see me. If you need a healing, come see me. If you need a blessing, come down. If you just need to talk a little bit, come see me. If you need prayer for somebody else, me and Bryce will be down there. You can come to either one of us.